Good morning. Today's Daf Yevamos Chaf Hey. We're in Chaf Dalmud Beis. We are starting right in the middle of the Amud of the two dots. Anitan Aleishes Ish. We are going to get a little reprieve from Yevamos for today and tomorrow. Not all of tomorrow. When we resume the third parak of the Masechta, so we're going to go back to Inyana Yevamos. A little side discussion for today. A couple of Mishnayos, which really has nothing to do with Yevamos, and tucked away here in the second parak, the end of the second parak of the Masechta. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm not sure why they're here, but they're here. On Chav Dal Med Aleph, we still discussed Yevamos. We talked about how it is the oldest brother's first option, although not to the exclusion of the younger brothers. Any one of the brothers can do the mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah's mention of the word Bechor by Yevamos is when all said and done, and the Gemara had a little bit of a discussion, but when all said and done, is to teach us a really specific halacha regarding the Yerusha of the Yavam. The Yavam is going to be Yerush's brother's assets, but only the current holdings, not the account receivables. Okay, a detail in the halacha of Nachlas HaYibum, Nachlas HaYavam. Meanwhile, the mission yesterday on Chav Dalman Beis changed subjects, and we will be in this new discussion until the end of the parak. A delicate topic, a delicate discussion of the Gemara, and that is that a woman who, unfortunately, rumors are swirling around her that she is committing adultery. Or, for that matter, rumors regarding the man who is having relations with a woman that he's not allowed to have relations with. I'm going to go back to the Mishnah. I just want to review the Mishnah, and then we're going to jump to the Gemara that we're at. Take a look at Take a look at the top of the Amud. Hanitan al shifchav nishtachra. So a man now is having rumors and allegations regarding the fact that he's sleeping with a woman who is a shifcha. And then she became emancipated. Oh, well, Alved is Kochavim in his Gaira. Or he was having relations with this non-Jewish woman. And then she converted. So, Lichat Chila, he's not allowed to marry her. Meaning, if he asks somebody to be Masada Kedushin, the answer should be no, it's not appropriate. You should not be married to this woman. All it's going to do is substantiate the rumors and allegations. So, no. But if he finds somebody to marry them, So then he can stay. He can remain married to her. And then the last case of the Mishnah is where rumors and allegations is that he's with a married woman, and under those circumstances, they removed him from her. In other words, the they over here is a reference to Beis Din. Hold that thought because that's going to play in today's daf. Meaning to say that Beis Din said, "Okay, you now have to get a divorce." If this paramour then subsequently marries her, meaning again, he goes around and says, would you marry us? So the answer by everybody should be no. In other words, that's the woman that you were rumored to have had the adulterous affair with. So the answer should be no. And here in this case, if they do find somebody to marry them, so then Yotzi. Beis Din is now going to intervene and Beis Din is going to say, no, this relationship must be separated, and they're going to force the man to divorce his wife. Okay, so there obviously are two parts of the Mishnah. We're going to be focusing on the second part of the Mishnah, where rumors and allegations regarding an adulterous affair. This man, is having an adulterous affair with an already married woman. Beis Din forced a divorce. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, let's reiterate again today, Beis Din has to force a divorce. Why? Because we know that a woman is mizana. She commits adultery, so the asur labal, the asur labal, she becomes prohibited to her husband. Now, that doesn't by itself terminate the marriage. The marriage still needs to be terminated with a get or death, but the marriage needs to be terminated. So he must divorce her. If for whatever reason he's refusing to divorce her, Beis Din's going to intervene, and Beis Din's going to force a divorce. Our Mishnah picks it up now where? The paramour now wants to marry her because now she's available. And there, no. In other words, and not only the chatchila he may not marry her, but even b'di'evit, even if he does so, Beis Din's going to terminate that relationship as well. Good? This is what we learned back in the Mishnah. And now let's start with the Gemara. Hanitan al eishes ish. Okay, yesterday I pointed out, and I just want to reiterate again today, so none of us should be speaking lashon hara, meaning I'm speaking to myself. You can listen in. So none of us should be speaking lashon hara. And so the idea over here that we're going to be speaking a lot today about halachas of rumors and allegations. Well, who's talking and who's swirling these rumors? So people who are talking about other people. Okay, so as I pointed out yesterday, so there's a balance, meaning on one hand, these rumors mean something. On the other hand, so you and I shouldn't be the ones spreading these rumors. Okay, And I know that's balance. That's two different thoughts that we have to try to entertain in our head. But okay. Anyway, that's just the short amount of musar for one day. So a man now is rumored, is alleged to have relations with a married woman. This is the second part of our Mishnah, and the Gemara discusses. I'm a Rav, Uve Edim. And so over here, we're going to contend with a comment made by Rav, and Rav says, yeah, these rumors then were substantiated by witnesses. Meaning witnesses saw the act of adultery. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. Now, that's an unbelievable addition to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about rumors, right? And then Rav says, yeah, but the application of the law of the Mishnah is only in the case where there are witnesses. Wow. So I'm Rav Shesha, so Rav Shesha says, Amina Kinaim V'Shachiv Rav, I'm Allah Shmaitetam. So Rav Shesha says that when Rav says this, he must have been half asleep. Okay. It's a sharp comment by Rav Shesha, and if you've been with us in the daf long enough, you know, this is not the first time Rav Shesha's made a comment like that regarding a comment of Rav. Okay? And it's biting, and, you know, it seems a little bit acidic. Again, if we understood the relationship between Rav and Rav Shesha, we probably would hear the tone a little bit better. But in other words, Rav Shesha says it can't be. Detanya, because consider the following brisa. Hanita na'leishas ish. So a man is rumored to have relations with a married woman. Votzi al yado. And then Beis Din intervened and Beis Din forced her to first him, meaning her husband, to divorce her. Vinizgarsha mitachas yidei acher. So, and then what happens is that she marries another man, meaning she doesn't marry the paramour. She marries another man. Im kanas lo yotzi. If then he, the paramour, subsequently marries her. So this is a drama. This is an entire saga of a story over here. So again, let's just go over three steps over here. Step number one is that rumors are swirling about this man having an adulterous affair with this woman. Okay. Step two, four steps. I'm sorry. Step two is that Basin enforces a divorce. Step three is that she marries another man and divorces that other man. And step four, now the paramour wants to marry her. So here, im kanas lo yotzi. In this case over here, if he, let's say the pronouns that make everything confusing, because there's so many players that are involved. If he, the paramour, now then ends up marrying her after she's married to another man and that marriage terminated. So under those circumstances, ideally they should not marry, but b'di'evit, if they marry, so then it would be okay. Meaning the marriage could sustain. So hechidami. So the Gemara says now. Now that we learned that brisa together. So that this brisa over here is much like our Mishnah, but with the additional wrinkle of she married somebody in the interim. Okay. Now, hechidami deke dimkiasa acher v'afsik elakala mayhave. So the Gemara says now, Rav, let's think about what you're saying. You're saying that there are witnesses to the adulterous affair. So if there are witnesses to the adulterous affair, I don't care how many chapters there are in this drama. Even if she married another man in the interim, when all is said and done, he is a mezana. He committed adultery with her, and we know this because there are witnesses. So once we know this because there are witnesses, so that's it. It doesn't matter if she marries another man, she doesn't marry another man. What difference does it make? They are usher to one another. So El Alav, the Lake Eidim. So the Gemara says it must be that we're talking about where there are no Eidim. Vitaima, Adasa Acher V'Afsik Elakala. And the reason why the marriage can't sustain at the very end is because she married another man in the interim, which kind of stopped the rumors. Halav Achim Avkinan. Otherwise, we would have to force him to get a divorce. Anyway, so now Rav Shesha says, did you see the Braisa? And clearly the Braisa over here is talking about a scenario in which there were no witnesses. So obviously our discussion is without witnesses. So I'm L'Chav Rav. So Rav will tell you, look, as far as I'm concerned, you ask me, I think if everything is just built on rumors and there are no witnesses, it doesn't matter whether she marries another man in the interim. She doesn't marry another man in the interim. Look, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one critical factor, and that is witnesses. If there are witnesses that saw the act of adultery, testified to that fact, so then she has to get a divorce from the paramour. Otherwise, if there are no witnesses and everything is just rumors, swirling rumors, so then they don't have to get a divorce. Again, Rav is not going to argue. Ideally, of course, they shouldn't get married, but b'di'evit, if they, after the fact, they got married, so then the marriage doesn't have to terminate. V'hachi kamar. Okay, so Rav says, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only critical factor. So then the Braisa, because the Braisa obviously introduces us to this new wrinkle where she married another man in the interim. So Rav says, as far as the Brice is concerned, I'll tell you what the Brice is teaching us. What the Brice was focusing on is what's the ideal halacha? What's the lechatchila? The lechatchila is that the paramour should not marry this woman. That's the lechatchila. And I'll tell you how strong this lechatchila is. The lechatchila is so strong that even if she married another man in the interim, which kind of puts an end to the rumors, because why is she marrying another man? Even under those circumstances, still, because there were rumors that circulated that he was with this woman while she was a married woman, so they are not to get married, even if she married another man in the interim. Okay? So so that's what the Brice is coming to teach me. Okay, so where are we right now? So Rav's comment that the marriage can only be terminated, the paramour and this woman, the marriage can only be, they can only be separated only when there are witnesses to the fact that they committed adultery. Otherwise, b'di'evet, they don't have to get a divorce.
Yeah, but if there's witnesses,
No. If there are witnesses, she will be killed, but only under the circumstances where there was a warning and that was issued. They accepted the warning. There has to be due process. In other words, and there are, most of the time, due process is not going
to
be.
And it doesn't mention that she had to get a get from her first husband either.
No, it did say that. Yes.
No,
Hotziyuhu means that based in force, she has to get a divorce from her first husband. Okay. That's a requirement. Meitzvei the Gemara challenges with the Brisa by Medvar Mamorim B'Shein Labanim. So that's only if there are no children. Aval Yesh Labanim, but if there are children, Lo Seitze. So then they don't have to get a divorce. Avim Bao Eidei Toma, Afil Yesh Lakam Abanim Teitze. Now, if they're Eidei Toma, meaning they're witnesses who saw the act of adultery, so then it doesn't matter how many children that they have to get a divorce. Okay, now, what comes out over here is that in this Brisa, which certainly seems difficult for Rav, so this Brisa says that once they have children, so they don't have to get a divorce, but stands that, in other words, they do have to get divorced. So Rav Mukil Al Masisa B'Yesh La'Banim V'Yesh La'Edim. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav will tell you no. In other words, I'm here. I'm totally here with this halacha. That in order to get a divorce, there had to have been witnesses. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is talking about where there are witnesses. We're forcing a divorce, yeah, because there were witnesses and there were banim and there were children. And despite the fact that there were children, still, if once there are witnesses that saw the act of adultery, so they have to get a divorce. So the Gemara wants to know why is Rav insistent that that's what the Mishnah is talking about? So only when there are witnesses, so then they're going to force a divorce. If there are no witnesses, then they're not going to force a divorce. Meaning that's a lot to insert into the Mishnah when the Mishnah doesn't mention all of these factors and all these variables. Meaning, again, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, a simple reading of the Mishnah, we read the Mishnah this morning. The only thing the Mishnah mentions is just rumors. And now we're attaching to the Mishnah, not only were the rumors, but there were also witnesses. Not only were the witnesses, but subsequently they had he married the paramour and they subsequently had children. And still, we're going to force a divorce because there were witnesses. That's a lot of narration to add to the Mishnah. Why is Rav insistent that that's what the Mishnah is talking about? So lukma b'shein labanim afagav deleika edim. So why don't we just simply say that our Mishnah is talking about where there are no children and there are no witnesses. So amar Rava masisa kashisei. So Rava says, look, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, I'll tell you why we added these details. Because read the Mishnah and let's read it carefully. My irya didni hotzi uhu. So yeah, so now we're going to be sitting on a word in the Mishnah, which I read and I think I explained it well, but let's now focus on this word in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, if you go back to the Mishnah again, so again, there are not that many words in the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes a scenario, hanitan alishas ish, so rumors about him and a married woman, vehotzi uhu. Now, that word in the Mishnah is hotzi uhu. They removed her from him. So who's the they? The they, obviously, is Beis Din. Beis Din intervened. Now, why is Beis Din intervening over here? Beis Din's going to force a divorce because of rumors? No. Meaning, he may elect to divorce her, but Beis Din's not going to force a divorce based on rumors. They may suggest to him, they may advise, but they're not going to force a divorce. What are the circumstances in which Beis Din are going to force a divorce? Oh, there's only one set of circumstances, and that is where there were witnesses. That's the tip in the Mishnah. That's the tell in the Mishnah that we're talking about where there are witnesses. Lisne, back to the Gemara, lisne hotziah, meaning if there are no witnesses, so then the better choice of word in the Mishnah would have been he divorced her, meaning it was his decision. Ella kol hotziah bebeisin, ubeisin beidim hu demafke. And the Gemara says, obviously, there must have been a basin involved because of the word hotziu. And when is basin going to intervene? I'll tell you when basin is going to intervene. Only when there are witnesses. Okay. That's why Rav insists that we're going to have to add these details in the Mishnah because of the reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is now talking about where there are witnesses. And the Mishnah's now point is that basin is separated the original marriage because of the, not rumors, even though the Mishnah says rumors. And I know, it makes the Mishnah a little bit misleading. Because you're really, the Mishnah is kind of bearing the lead. Meaning the lead is really not just the rumors, but witnesses. And admittedly, that part's difficult. But the Mishnah is talking about where there are witnesses who saw the act of adultery. Basin now stepped in and Basin separated the two of them. Not separated. Had him give her a divorce. They forced him to do so. And so now, under those circumstances, she marries a paramour. And now under those circumstances, that marriage has to be terminated. Basin will step in over there. I, they had children. Okay. It's unfortunate. But Basin's going to terminate that marriage. Alternatively, what Rav will tell you is that, look, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, maybe keep the Mishnah as it is. Maybe the Mishnah is only rumors. And that would be difficult for Rav. Rav will tell you that Shita's Rebbe. And I don't agree with Rebbe. Now, we're going to see this occasionally throughout Shas, and that is Rav can argue with Tanayim, right? Rav Tanu Palagu. So over here, Rav is exercising his right to argue with a Tana, meaning our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe, and Rav is arguing with Rebbe. How do I know that? The Tanya, because we learned the following Braisa. Rochel Yosef Isha Chogeres Besinar. So let's say we have circumstantial evidence. It's really strong circumstantial evidence. The Braisa over here is going to give a couple of examples. And that is that the peddler's leaving the house and she's fixing, she's putting on her clothing. Okay, that's pretty strong circumstantial evidence. I'm a Rebbe, hol mechura davar teitze. So Rebbe says that's it's revolting, it's disgusting. And they have to get a divorce. Rok lamala minakila, I'm a Rebbe, hol mechura davar teitze. There's spit somewhere in the bed. So and it's not his spit. So it belongs to somebody else. So again, she had relations with another man. It's circumstantial evidence. Again, none of this evidence is going to lead to any kind of conviction in Beis Din, but it's enough already where we pretty much know. And so it's enough circumstantial evidence. Rebbe says a divorce. We're now on the top of Chafei Amud Aleph. If let's say the shoes are inverted, so underneath the bed, so then Rebbe says, again, circumstantial evidence. This last piece over here, the Gemara struggles a little bit with this last example. So, minalam hafuchim lechze damaninhu. Well, whose shoes do they belong to? So the Gemara says, ala makom minalam hafuchim. So it's not that we're not focusing on the shoes, but the makom, the makom minalam, the place where the shoes are. Even as the Gemara explains it, it's not perfectly clear exactly what the circumstantial evidence is, in fact, indicating. See Rashi over here, who gives not one, but a couple of suggestions of what it means in terms of this particular circumstantial evidence. Regardless, the point is that we have circumstantial evidence, and what's Rebbe's position? Rebbe's position is that the marriage has to be terminated. Now, okay, so what Rav will tell you is, look, as far as I'm concerned, the marriage has to be terminated under one circumstance, witnesses. Outside of that, the marriage does not need to be terminated. Again, probably a good idea to terminate the marriage, but doesn't have to end. And as far as our Mishnah is concerned, where our Mishnah is talking about where there are no witnesses, again, we tried to suggest earlier that there were, the Mishnah is in fact talking about where there are witnesses, and we read it into the Mishnah. But if you don't want to do that, and you want to keep the Mishnah as it is, where the Mishnah is not just talking about rumors. So you could say, Rav will tell you that our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rebbe. I don't agree with Rebbe. Okay. And then we're going to get confused. Because then the Gemara says that, you know what the halacha falls like? The halacha falls like Rav and the halacha falls like Rebbe. Okay, now, that's difficult because as we just pointed out, Rav doesn't agree with Rebbe. Kasha hilchasa hilchasa. Gemara makes exactly that point. So lo kasha. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to say now is the following, is that the halacha falls like Rav, that you need witnesses in order to terminate the marriage. Okay. And with those witnesses, And with those witnesses, if she then marries the paramour, so that marriage also is going to be terminated by Beis Din as well. That's Rav. That Shita's Rav. And everything is going to be a function of witnesses. Rabbi Shita is no. Circumstantial evidence is going to be sufficient in order for Beis Din to step in and to terminate the marriage. And so how can the halacha fall like both? So the Gemara says, well, there are rumors and then there are rumors. And it depends on the severity of the rumors. Now, what we're going to try to do, and admittedly, this is going to be hard, is we're going to try to quantify what is a serious rumor. Okay? Rumors are hard to measure. Okay? Right? Earthquakes are hard to measure. now we have the equipment, we have the technology to measure it, or rumors are also going to be hard to measure, and the Gemara is going to try to measure a rumor. So, habakala de pasik, habakala de la pasik. So the Gemara says, if the rumor is just around for a short amount of time, that's not a rumor. But if the rumor is lingering, so that's a rumor. The Gemara says, okay, a little bit more precision, please. So, kala de la pasik, veleka edem karebi. So if it is just a kala de la pasik, if it's a significant rumor, and there are no witnesses, so then we're going to follow like Shitas Rebbe, meaning because it's a significant rumor. Kala de pasik, veika edem karav. But if it's not a significant rumor, but once you have witnesses, so then of course we're going to follow like Rav. The kala de la pasik ad kama. Gemara says, okay, what's a lingering rumor? Can we have a little bit of a better definition? So Amar Abai, Amar Le'em, Duma Damasa, Yumo Paga. So Abai quotes his mother, because he does all the time. And it's interesting over here, because usually Abai quotes his mother in terms of medical advice and just sage knowledge. Over here, he's quoting his mother for halacha. And as we point out every time, Abai is not quoting his biological mother, it's his foster mother, the one who raised him. Okay. But still, in other words, she adopted him, raised him. So as far as he's concerned, that's mom. So dume damasa yuma apage. So a rumor is a day and a half, right? Dume is an expression. It's a description of a suspected adulterer. So if it goes on for a day and a half, okay, it's not a long time. I was expecting, and when preparing the Gemara, that we talk about a much longer period of time for what is considered a lingering rumor, okay? But the Gemara is very clear over here, a day and a half. So it's considered a substantial rumor, and as a result of that, now we're going to follow like the Shita Rebbe, that's enough circumstantial evidence where the marriage must be terminated. It's fair questions. I don't know. I only have what the Gemara to work with. I'd be guessing, and I'd rather not. Okay,
it's good. No,
God bless you. V'lo amar nelo dolo pasak beni beni. And the Gemara says, and we're talking about where it has to be a continuous rumor. Aval pasak beni beni ha pasak. However, if it's not a continuous rumor, however, if there are pausing gaps in the rumors. Now, again, I don't exactly know. Yeah, I don't exactly know what this means. There are pauses and gaps within the rumors. Right? The rumor mill is, you know, just shut down for an hour. I don't know. Okay, but I understand what the Gemara is trying to do, and it's trying to quantify something which is really hard to quantify.
Who's the official timekeeper here?
Right, correct. Correct.
Like Olympics, like,
So, Aval Pasak Beni Beni Ha Pasak. V'lo Amar Nelo Dola Pasak Mach Masira, Aval Pasak Mach Masira, Mach Masira Su. And even if there's a pause in the rumor mill, but you know, though, however, that somebody intimidating came in and told people to stop. So that is an artificial pause in the rumor mill. It's not going to continue can be considered a pause. And if you have enemies, so you understand that that's manufactured rumors. And so what we could say is that under the case of manufactured rumors, that's not considered a rumor. Okay. A lot of halachas regarding rumors when, as I already pointed out earlier, I feel the need to reiterate. No one should be sharing these rumors. No one should be peddling these rumors. But still, in other words, again, the balance of today's daf, yesterday's daf, in which on one hand, no one should be peddling these rumors. On the other hand, there are halachic significance to these rumors. Okay, it's a balance.
Based on accept them, no questioning. No.
Again, the Beis Din is going to be. Beis Din's going to have their ear to the ground, meaning Beis Din.
But they just accepted.
Again, yeah. In this particular regard, when you have the rumors are evidence. It is a form of evidence. In other words, no one is going to be punished for this evidence, although the marriage is going to get punished, meaning the marriage is going to be terminated. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah. Amotzi Yisisha Mishum Shemran Lo Yachzer Mishum Neder Lo Yachzer. Okay, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a man divorces his wife because of Shemra, in other words, bad rumors that are swirling regarding her behavior, so he may not remarry her. If it's because of a Neder, meaning she's taking on too many Nedarim and he just simply can't take it, so he may not marry her again. Okay, so we certainly know the halacha is that he may not marry her, but what if he does? And then, we're asking on the bidyavet. So post facto, if he remarried her, what do we say then? So what the answer he tries to answer is, well, let's take a look at our Mishnah over here, where what happens? He marries a woman that he was alleged to have an adulterous affair with. And so under those circumstances, bid the Eved, Basin will force him to divorce. And the cases are comparable, right? And the Gemara's answer is the cases are not comparable. So, of course, those cases are not comparable. In our Mishnah over here, what happened? Basin stepped in. Meaning, this is an act of Basin over here that dissolved the marriage. That is much different than the Mishnah you just cited, where he elected to divorce her because of the rumors. He elected to divorce her because of the Nedarim. So that's a huge difference. And Rava Barav Nachman will tell you, look, my girsa of our Mishnah over here is Hotzia. So now they become comparable. Okay. Tanan. Vakati Midami, the Gemara says, I still don't think they're comparable. Even if you have a slightly edited version of our Mishnah, and it's not comparable. Hachabal v'hasam bo'al. Over there, we were talking about the husband. Meaning the husband elected to divorce her. The husband then elected to remarry her. So, in other words, the husband is the one now faced with all the ramifications of his own decision. Meaning he knows that his wife was alleged to have an affair. He divorced her. If he then remarried her, who knows, maybe everything was cleared up. Meaning, but it was his decision. Over here, we're talking about the paramour. Meaning, he was not the one who originally divorced her. He's now the one picking her up afterwards. It's much different. So, Amalei Shapir Dami Ahadadi Hacham or Rabbanan Lo Yichnas V'imkanas Yotzei Hachanami Amalei Rabbanan Lo Yachzer V'imkanas Yotzei. So over here, he was counter arguing, and he's saying, "Look, if you look at the language of each of the Mishnayos, they kind of parallel one another." So in the Mishnah over there, it says "Afa Pishikanas Yotzi," and our Mishnah over here, it says "Afa Pishikanas Yotzi." The language is exactly identical to one another. So I understand that there you can make arguments separating the two cases, but the language really runs parallel to one another. Velohi. But the Gemara says, okay, but ultimately, I'm glad the language is parallel to one another, but it's not the same. The obvious difference between the cases are the following. In the case of the husband electing to remarry his wife that he divorced, so in other words, obviously what happened over there is that clarifies that probably didn't happen. A misunderstanding occurred. And his act of remarrying her validates the fact that it was a misunderstanding. In the case of the paramour marrying this woman, if anything, all it's going to do is fan the flames. The rumors were that she committed adultery with this man. Then her and her husband got a divorce, and now she marries the paramour. It's going to do just the opposite. All it's going to do is substantiate the rumors that she committed adultery. The cases are obviously not comparable to one another. Case closed. Next Mishnah. So here now, from here until the end of the parak, once again, we're going to take a small respite from the topic of Yevamos, and we're going to be on to these delicate issues. These are really delicate issues. We get to discuss them. You're the courier of a get. We're going to learn in the beginning of Gittin that if you are a courier of a get, delivering a get across lands, Mimidina Sayam, and so, in order to validate the get, you must say the words, Befani Nechta, Befani Nechta. Now, for a full explanation of that, see the beginning of Gittin, where the Gemara has a 3 or 4 page discussion regarding why that should be. Okay? For our purposes right now, we could say with brevity, and that is that it's necessary to say that. The get will only be validated when you say those magic words. They're not magic. When you say the magic words of b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. So, v'amar b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, lo yisas ishto. And so now she's a divorced woman. Perfect. Hey, and you were the one who curried the get, and now you would like to. Oh, my pun play today is going to be amazing. And now you want to curry favor together with her. Oh, it's so good today. So fine. And now, okay. So you'd like to pick her up. What an opportunity. So the Mishnah says, "Lo yisas ishto." You may not do so because you were instrumental in the divorce. And so now it's going to be a little bit suspicious that you're now going to go ahead and marry her. And mace, haraktiv, hargunu lo yisas ishto. If let's say you're the one testifying that her husband died, or you're the one who says that I killed your husband, or hargunuhu, or we killed him, lo yisas ishto. Under those circumstances, you may not marry this woman. Rabbi Yehuda omer haraktiv lo sinase ishto hargnu tinase ishto. Rabbi Yehuda makes a really curious distinction between his testifying, I killed him, versus we killed him. That obviously needs clarification. Stay tuned. That we're going to do that in a couple minutes from now. Okay. So we're going to go back to the first case of the Mishnah where he's a courier of the get. He comes in Medinas Yam. He must say, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam. That's only when he comes from outside Eretz Yisrael. As we will learn together in Gittin. We've learned it, and God willing, we will learn it together in Gittin. If the delivery of the get is intra-Eretz Yisrael, so then you don't have to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam. It's not necessary. Again, see the beginning of the Gemara in Gittin for reasons why. Right now, just for the sake of simplicity and brevity and to save some time, so it's not required. So now you're the deliverer of the get. So what are you? You're just the mailman. Okay. So now, under those circumstances, if you'd like to marry her, you may. Because you were not instrumental for her being divorced. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, really? So, well, consider the following. He comes in and he reports that her husband died, where we're not really relying on him. Okay, so in the second half of our Masechta, we're going to be discussing this at length. And this is a really serious topic, and that is testifying to the death of her husband. There are numerous leniencies in the halacha of Eidos that allows her to remarry, even though it is not valid testimony. Valid testimony comes in the form of two men, two adult men who are ksherim, who testify to a particular event. That's testimony. When it comes to a woman and news about the death of her husband, the chachamim significantly relaxed the rules of testimony. Where even where one person comes and testifies, and as we'll learn later in the Masechta, doesn't even have to be a man, it could be a woman, it could be a apostle. So there we significantly relax the rules of testimony. Her now ability to remarry is not going to be predicated on testimony. And the Gemara says, V'hameis alav alaha kasem chinan, damar marisha daiko mintzava. And the Gemara over here really succinctly explains why it is that she's allowed to remarry because she's going to be doing an investigation herself. Now, as we will discuss later in the Masechta, the story may not end well. In other words, her husband may in fact come back. But right now, what we need to know is that her ability to remarry is predicated on her investigation.
Due diligence.
So this is really her responsibility. The Ketani lo yisas ishto. And the Gemara says, so and under those circumstances, even though he is not really the instrumental force in what is allowing her to remarry, still, he can't marry her. So what do we see? That even though the man who's not instrumental in allowing her to remarry, but as long as he plays some role in her ability to remarry, he's not allowed to marry her. So I say the same thing even with the courier of the get. Even though it's intra Eretz Yisrael, even though he doesn't have to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, but he played a role, not a significant role, but he played a role. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Hasam leka ksava hacha ikaksava. You're comparing testimony and the actual document. Don't compare them. In other words, in the case of a document, you have a document. In other words, her ability to remarry is all a predicate of the document. The document is everything. But it did not. Once you have a document, once you have a shtar, in this case, the shtar is a get, so that's it. That's really, that's doing the job. Now, again, when you're delivering it from outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then it has to be supplemented with the words b'fanei nechzam, and then you become an instrumental force. But if you're just delivering the get and it's in Eretz Yisrael and you don't have to say b'fanei nechzam, you're playing no role in it. Yes, you delivered it, but that's not halachically significant. On the other hand, when a man comes in to report the death of the wife, even though it's not really his testimony, but still he's playing a role. And yes, she will now do the investigation. She'll do her due diligence in order to make sure that her husband, in fact, died. But again, you still need some testimony, and he represents that some testimony. So the cases are not comparable. If he's reporting that her husband died, or he killed her, or we killed him, so then he's not allowed to marry the wife. Now, just I'll make the obvious comment, which I could have made back in the Mishnah. In one of the last two reportings, she probably doesn't want to marry him. I'm going out there on a limb. Okay, but nevertheless, though, as far we're just looking right now at the halacha, and the halacha is lo yisa ishto. He may not marry her. Now, who knew the lo yisa ishto hala acher tinase? So the Gemara says, okay, he can't marry her, but we're listening to him because we say that she can't marry him, but presumably she can marry somebody else. The Gemara says, Vahama Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, let's consider a comment made by Rav Yosef. It's not a comment, it's a halacha. Ploni Rav Ani Lon Si. So, if let's say you come to court and you're testifying that I was sodomized, so who Vahachem and Starfan Lahargo? You could serve as a witness in court. Now, obviously, you need another witness, but you can now serve as a witness in court. Liritzoni, Rashu Vatar Amra, Tashes Yadcha, Im Rasha, Lios Aid Hamas. So, but if let's say you say that, yes, that person sodomized me, but it was not sodomy. I was an active participant. Not active. I was a consenting participant in the act. So now, both partners in the act of homosexuality are subject to Misa. So what you're basically doing is you're incriminating yourself. So you cannot serve as a witness. So v'chite mashani edus isha dakila be'rabanan. So the Gemara says, okay, but I know what you're thinking. In other words, that case of Rav Yosef is talking about real edus. We're talking about edus isha. And again, edus isha, there's a significant relaxation of the rules by edus isha. The Gemara says, no, v'hama Rav Menashe. The Gemara says, consider that which was said by Rav Menashe. Gazan de Divrei and Kasha Le Desisha, Gazan de Divrei Torah Apostle Le Desisha. So the Gemara says, yeah. Rav Menashe says that even though there's a relaxation of the rules, but there are limits. When are we going to allow somebody to testify regarding the death of one's husband? Only when he's Pasul de Divrei. It's a Pasul de Rabbanan. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It's the same Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Talk about the Pasul Le de Rabbanan, that which disqualifies you on a rabbinic level to testify. But if you're pasul mid oraisa, you can't even testify about edus isha. So the wait. I'm sorry. Just give me a moment. Let me first finish. We're in the middle of a thread, and let's first finish the thread, and then by all means. So the Gemara says. So Neima Rav Menashe Damar Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what we'll do. We'll line up Rav Menashe like Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. Meaning, remember in the Mishnah, there are two opinions in the Mishnah. The Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe Rabbi Menashe is going like Rabbi Yehuda, but not like the Chacham. The Gemara says no. Amlecha Rabbi Menashe ana darmi afilu Rabbanan. Now, the truth of the matter is that Rabbi Menashe can even be going like the Chacham. V'tayna de Rabbanan hachak de Rava. Now, as far as the Chacham are concerned, again, the Chacham say that if you come along and issue statements like "I killed your husband" or "We killed your husband," so in the Mishnah, she may not marry him, but she may marry others. Well, what? How can that be? So the Gemara goes on to explain. The explanation goes like Rava. So we get onto the topic of self-incrimination, and that is, Rava says that a person cannot incriminate himself. In other words, even if he says he did things, heinous acts, criminal acts, so he cannot incriminate himself. Now, it's a little bit confusing because in our country that we live in, so we also have something called you cannot incriminate yourself, but there's a major difference. In our country, so when we say you cannot incriminate yourself, it means that you have the right to remain silent. However, if you open your mouth and you say things about yourself, that's it. So that a conviction can be created based on your testimony. Rava is that when Rava says you cannot incriminate yourself, it means we simply are muting everything you're saying about yourself. Even if you say it, you cannot incriminate yourself. Now, Rashi in Sanhedrin, Chaf Hei, so Rashi over there says, why? Why can you not incriminate yourself? Why am I quoting Rashi in Sanhedrin? Rashi here, sorry. Rashi in both places writes that the reason why you cannot incriminate yourself is because you are related to yourself. Relatives cannot testify about one another. The closest relative to you is you. And so therefore you simply cannot, anything you say about yourself is going to be muted. So in other words, when you step forward and you say, I killed your husband, so here's what we're hearing. Your husband's dead. That's what we're hearing. But in other words, as far as him being a Rasha is concerned, no, that's going to be based on his testimony, and we just simply ignore that portion of the statement. I know, that's a lot to absorb. So, Lema Rav Yosef Damaka Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, so presumably Rav Yosef is going to be going like Rav Yehuda. Now, let's go over what Rav Yosef taught us. Rav Yosef was on the bottom of the Amud Aleph. Rav Yosef says that a person comes over and he says that I was sodomized, so he and another witness can testify about that person. If he says I was a willing participant, so he says you cannot testify about that person. You are a Rasha. So the Gemara says, now, it comes out that Rav Yosef is going like Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, I'm lecha Rav Yosef, ana damri, afilu rabbanan. And Rav Yosef says, no, I could be going like the Chachamim as well. Vishani Yervasisha dakila bei rabbanan. And it could very well be that normally your testimony about yourself is in fact going to be held up. It just happens to be that we're talking about Eidus Isha in our Mishnah. And again, the rabbi significantly relaxed the rules of testimony as it relates to Eidus Isha. V'Rav Menashe, Damar K'Rav Yehuda. And as far as Rav Menashe is concerned, so he's going to be going like Rav Yehuda. Rav Menashe that we saw on the very bottom of Chaf Hei to the top of Chaf Hei Amud Beis draws that line in the sand between a Psul D'Rabbanan versus a Psul D'Araisa. Psul D'Rabbanan will accept for Eidus Isha. A Psul D'Araisa, we will not accept for Eidus Isha. And then what we could do is that we could line up Rav Menashe like Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. Okay, so a lot of huge topics that were discussed in those last 8-9 lines of Gemara. Self-incrimination, whether it's accepted, whether it's not accepted. Eidus Isha. Okay, a lot of huge, huge topics. Okay, we continue. What's it called? Question.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin brings up as a concept Akedah and Diborah, which is notably absent in this discussion.
Yeah.
It's working a different concept than Akedah and
Diborah. We're going to have to say. So in the case of Eidus Isha, it may not be relevant because, again, by Eidus Isha, what the Gemara is challenging is whether we need testimony at all. Right. So in other words, by Eidus Isha, basically what you have over here is you have now grounds to do your investigation. In other words, I just need enough information to give me, to allow me to do my investigation, my due diligence, and that would be enough. Good. And so by Eidus Isha, it very well may be that we don't need to say Pagid and Dibur because, again, it's not Eidus. In the case of he sodomized me, I was a willing participant. So there we're going to have to use Pagin and Deborah. Yes, and to your point, by the way, the Gemara here doesn't mention it. But in the case where in the case of Ploni Rav Ani, where he sodomized me, where there we have to say Pagin and Deborah, because because he was an onus. Sorry. If he says I was an active participant in it, so if you accept his testimony about him, but you're also going to have to ignore his testimony about himself, then you're right. Then we're going to have to say Pagin and Dibura. Yeah, and the Gemara doesn't mention it over here. Okay, Haraktiv Harganu Tinase, Maishna Haraktiv Maishna Harganuhu. Okay, in the Shita Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, again, according to the Chachamim, testimony that I killed your husband, we killed your husband, so then you're not allowed to marry this man. Okay, and again, you probably don't want to marry him, but aside from that, you're not allowed to marry him. Good, that's the Shita of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda makes a curious distinction between where he says, I killed him versus we killed him. I killed him, you can't marry him. We killed him, yeah, you can marry him. Again, what she decides to do, okay, but she can't marry him. what's happening according to Rav Yehuda? What is that distinction?
It's self-incriminating in both cases.
Right, and why would they
accept anything? Once again, by the way, let's. I know. There's so much to consider over here. We're talking about Edus Isha. In other words, her ability to remarry in general is not going to be based on that testimony. It's going to be based on the fact that she's going to do her own due diligence. What we're discussing the objective of the Mishnah is. Of the men now that she's allowed to marry, can she marry this man? How much of a role did he play in her ability to remarry? Right? That's the one piece that we're discussing right now. Okay. So.
Yeah, the question is the testimony itself.
No, that's not correct.
If you compare the two
cases. But I understand that, but that's not the question. In other words, her ability to remarry is going to be based on her own due diligence.
Irrelevant of how they decided on the difference between the two cases on testimony.
That, in other words, this is Edus Isha. The only question that we're litigating right now is, can she, of all the men she can marry, can she marry that man? Okay, that's what's open for discussion. So, Agda Harganatina say, Maishna Hargtiv, Maishna Harganu, Amar of Yehuda, Ba'omer, Ani, Ayisim, Hargov. So the Gemara says is that no, in the case of we killed him, it means I was there. A man was about to be executed, and as we're seeing in just a moment, it was a non-Jewish government that was executing him, and he said, "Lechu amr laisha shema ben kohen ani arikdes baala bechnisa solalud." And so as he was about to be executed, so he said, look, go and send the following information. You know, I murdered this woman's husband, right at the entrance of Lod. Okay. Ve'amrila bechnisa so lelod. Okay. Varying girsas of whether he said my entrance into Lod, his entrance into Lod. Anyway, whichever is the correct girsa. V'yisir zishto. So, and then what happens is that, okay, they allow the woman to remarry. So and he married the wife. Amr Lahem Misham Raya, Ba'omer Ani Yisa Im Hargav. And he says, and he said to them, that's not a Raya. In other words, what he said was not that I killed, but I was there. I was present. Va'alisim Katani Shinitfas Ayyadei Listios. So the Gemara says, now, he was a listim. He was an arm bandit. So the Gemara says, Shinitfas Ayyadei Listios. No, the Gemara says, no, it was just an accusation. Yeah, it was just an accusation, so why is he being executed, right? Normally an accusation doesn't result in execution. So the Gemara says, look, it's a non-Jewish court. The non-Jewish courts, they get a little bit excited. In other words, they find somebody, all right, they don't have sufficient evidence. Okay, but you know what? We don't like him. He's a bad person. Okay, and they don't follow necessarily due process, and so fine. So that's why they killed him. But in other words, but he himself was not actually a killer, or at least we don't have the evidence to in fact indicate that that's so. Okay, Adkan. All right, let's quickly recap and review what we discussed this morning. A lot of really fun and delicate topics, exciting topics. Our first big issue was when is a man who is alleged to have relations with a married woman. After having divorced his wife, he then marries her. Is he allowed to marry her? The answer is unequivocally no. He's not allowed to marry her. But if, in fact, they do get married, do they have to terminate that marriage? The answer is yes. Okay, what exactly are the grounds for that for that termination? So Rav says you needed witnesses. And only in the case of witnesses is basically going to terminate that second marriage. And Rebbe's of the position that no, circumstantial evidence is going to be sufficient. And then what we did this morning is that we said the halacha is like Rav, the halacha is like Rebbe. How can the halacha be like both? So we have to try to quantify what is considered significant circumstantial evidence that would require, in fact, a divorce. Rumors, where the rumor mill is churning and going on for a day and a half uninterrupted, and there are no enemies, and okay, it gets detailed exactly when the rumor mill is significant, but I could say just as a summary, if the rumor mill is significant enough, so then we're going to follow like the Shita of Rebbe, where that's enough circumstantial evidence where the relationship is going to be terminated two times over with her first husband. And then if somebody decides to marry her and the paramour, that marriage is going to be terminated as well. Good. If there are witnesses, so then same thing. Even if there are no rumor mills. But if there were witnesses, so obviously those witnesses will result in termination of marriage number one. And if, in fact, there's a marriage number two, that marriage as well. That is topic number one. Our second topic this morning was, if you're instrumental in a woman divorcing her husband, in other words, you were part of the legal process, you were the courier of the get me, Medina Sayyam, you were the one who testified regarding the death of her husband, so now this woman can remarry, but not you. In other words, anybody but you. And so our discussion this morning, a really complex discussion this morning regarding, not in the case of bringing him in Medina Sayyam, that part's clear, and if you're bringing it intra Eretz Yisrael, so you're just the mailman, and under those circumstances you play no significant legal role, you can marry her. But if you're the one who's giving a desisha, under those circumstances, when are you going to be qualified or disqualified to marry her? And admittedly, that was, it's a short piece of Gemara, but boy, was that complicated. And then finally, the last thing that we did, excuse me, is we try to clarify the statement to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says a distinction to be drawn between whether you said you killed her husband versus we killed. And the clarification of we killed doesn't mean that I participated. It means simply means I was there.